We're back in the book of Deuteronomy this evening. So if you're newer to our church here, our habit is to work through books of the Bible as God has given them to us. He's given us books, he's given us stories, and the idea is that we work through them, and that's what we're doing. It's been a few weeks since we've been in Deuteronomy, and so it's worth just kind of reorientating ourselves. This is kind of an ancient book, perhaps unfamiliar to lots of us. But the book of Deuteronomy is the last of a book of the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. It is really a record of Moses, the man of God, preaching to the people before they enter this new land where they'll be surrounded by all sorts of nations with all sorts of practices. And Deuteronomy is three sermons. We're listening into Moses preaching to them. And if we were to kind of summarize Deuteronomy, what we're listening into is Moses exhorting the people of God to love the one who has first loved them. And he's explaining what that looks like. And when you put it like that, you think, well, hey, we're miles out from this in terms of years and practice and nations. But the New Testament calls us as Christians to love the one who first loved us. And so we need to listen in. There's a ton we can learn from Deuteronomy about loving the Lord when we live amongst the nations that practice such different things to us. So that's what we're going to listen into tonight. Chapters 12 to 26. Sorry, this is quite a long kind of intro, but I just was worth reorientating ourselves, okay? Chapters 12 to 26, this middle chunk we're in. We're not working our way through that bit by bit because we would literally be here probably till kingdom come. So we're actually just going to be dipping in and out of 12 to 26 because that's where Moses kind of goes into all sorts of detailed laws about how to live. And so we're dipping in and out, learning some things along the way, and then we're going to kind of come into land at about a few weeks' time when we're going to hit the last few chapters. So you with me? Is that all right? That's not the sermon, by the way, so don't kind of be optimistic. That's just the intro. So we're going to pick it up tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 18, a passage that perhaps some of you will know. If you haven't got a Bible, by the way, please just put a hand up. One of our team would love to bring you one. Deuteronomy 18, let me read from verse 9 tonight. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or a spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of these same detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. The nations you will dispossess listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, "Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see his great fire anymore, or we will die." The Lord said to me, "What they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death." You may say to yourselves, "How can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is the message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously, so do not be alarmed." This is God's word to us tonight. Please open your Bible again to Deuteronomy 18. We're going to get stuck into that tonight, have a think about that, hear the challenge of this together. But with that open in front of us, page 196, if you're using a church Bible, let's pray and seek God's help, shall we? Our God and our Father in heaven, we've just prayerfully sung that you would speak to us tonight, that you would show us Jesus, that you would be changing our thoughts and our attitudes. Father, please would your word tonight be more than just words on a page, but by your Spirit, by his power, would they live in us and change us and transform our hearts tonight. Father, help us to hear the challenges of your word, the comforts of your word, the assurances of your word tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you've been a follower of our Lord Jesus for a while, or perhaps if you're here and you would call yourself a spiritual person, maybe you wouldn't call yourself a follower of Jesus, but a spiritual person at least, then you may have found yourselves at times in your life, moments in your life, junctions, circumstances, where you have said something like, I really want to know what God's will is. I want to know what God's plan is for me. I want to know what God wants me to do. You ever used language like that? A few of you have. It's something we often say as Christians, isn't it? Knowing God's will, a desire to know his mind, to know his plans, to seek and to gain his guidance in a particular situation. Sometimes that might be a big life decision. You know, some of us have been there, haven't we? Big things we've got to decide. And we're sitting in this situation, and as a disciple of Jesus, or perhaps just a spiritual person, we're like, I want to know, God, what you want me to do here? What way should I go? Which junction should I turn down? It might be just kind of an everyday kind of choice. It doesn't have to be a big dramatic thing, but we might just be, you know, deciding what we're going to do in a day. And we're like, well, Lord, how do you want me to use today? Do you want me to go here? Do you want me to go there? It might be over how to deal with a crisis. Maybe some of us are there tonight. We've got a difficult thing in our life, a relationship that's broken or something. And we're like, God, I need you to help me here. I need to know what to do. I need to know your will. And I want to say to you this evening, and if you think like that, or remotely think like that, then I want to commend to you, that's a good thing. It's a good thing to desire to know what God wants us to do. He sits above us, he sits above our world, he has more authority and wisdom and power than we can. It's a good and a right thing to do. And I want to say that as a disciple of Jesus, actually that's not a natural desire, that is one that's been retuned. If you think when you hit these points in life, what does God want me to do? What is his will? You see, many around us don't think like that, do they? I doubt if we were to walk out into Enfield Town and speak to most people, people we love, we mix with, I doubt many people at junctions in their life would be thinking, I wonder what God wants right now. You see, many people would think us for desiring God's will, desiring to know what he wants, desiring his ways. Many of us would think people in this room are archaic and outdated, and perhaps that we're just primitive. Oh, seeking that God thing. Just use your brain. But for those of us who want to know God's will, for those of us who want to know his mind, who want to hear his commands, who want his direction in our life, the question then becomes how? How do we go about gaining his will? How do we go about listening to him? Who do we listen to when it comes to a specific situation and understanding what God wants? And that tonight's where Deuteronomy 18 helps us. Because it's a very particular thing that he's addressing, Moses is addressing before the people. It's a message about listening. If I could put it like this tonight, it's actually very specifically a message about listening for God's will, listening for God's direction on life and the way we're to do things and on particular situations. See, listening for God's will is something that should be part of the loved and rescued people of God's life. We should be thinking like that. That's presumed by Moses in this chapter. It's presumed that the people of God will be constantly thinking and attentive to, what does God want me to do here? It's true for this ancient people. See, we're not Israelites. We're not standing on the edge of the promised land. But it was true for them. And as we transport ourselves today to the church, to the loved and rescued people of God that we are, it's true for us. We should be listening. We should be thinking in. And tonight, here is what God has to say to us through his prophet Moses about listening for his will, about attending to the mind of God. How do we know? How do we listen to him? And the first thing Moses says to the people as they stand in front of him is this. He says, don't listen to lies. That's the first thing he tells them. Don't listen to lies. Just look with me at verse 9. Chapter 18 and verse 9. And we're going to just read a few verses. When you enter the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or a spiritist, or who consults the dead. You see, as this ancient people of God, the Israelites, were about to enter the land in which God was giving them, they would be surrounded by people who were seeking God's mind, God's will, in all sorts of ways. Divination, sorcery, omens, witchcraft, mediums, spiritists, people who consult the dead. That was the way that the people around them dealt with their situation when they say, well, what does God want us to do? Well, we'll go to those people. Those are the people we'll listen to. The nations around them had devised all sorts of kind of magical ways, mysterious ways, to kind of just get some hint of what a higher being might be saying to them about which way to go. Cutting up animals, seeing the way the blood falls, all those kind of things. And when the people wanted to know the will of God, they would go to the people who did those kinds of things. You see, just look with me at verse 14. Now, I'm aware at the moment, okay, this may seem a million miles from where we are, but just give it a hearing, okay, because you've got to get into what he's saying. Look at verse 14. The nations you will dispossess listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. That's who the nations listen to. They go on this kind of hocus-pocus, superstitious, let's kind of try and work it out what God wants here. Let's feel that path. Now, I suppose that if we were to think about this today, okay, we might be thinking that's a million miles away, but if we were to think about this today, there are all sorts of modern equivalents still, aren't there? I guess the kind of thing we might comedy laugh at is the reading of tea leaves, but that is a real thing. People do that. My neighbour, where I used to live in Edmonton, was massively into tarot cards and had a steady stream of people coming to her house wanting to know what their future held, wanting to know some of a higher being's kind of word on a situation. Or if you're into such a thing, you can pop up to the local pub on the Ridgeway. They have a psychic night every so often. There's a psychic night in the pubs kind of down at the other side of Enfield as well. You can go to one of those. You see, it's a real thing. People are, at some point, seeking something. They're seeking direction. They're seeking some kind of insight into their life. Or you can go to a spiritist meeting. Now, I'm not saying you should go to a spiritist meeting, by the way, but you could go to a spiritist meeting. That you can go to meetings where people genuinely consult the dead. I had a friend who was very into this, like scarily into this stuff. You see, people do use these kind of ways. It's not as archaic and as ancient as it first seems when you read this. A fairly recent article in the Independent newspaper recorded that there are now over 170 New Age-type religions in the UK. But what does God say to his people? What does God say to those that he has loved and rescued? You see, back here, this is the people that he's rescued from Egypt. This is the people to whom he's given his word. You remember that incident on the Mount Horeb where God himself came down in the cloud and the fire and he spoke to them with words they understood, and then they rebelled against him and they wandered in the desert for 40 years. What does God say that people should do, the loved, rescued people? Well, look again at verse 14. The nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery and divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. You are not to listen to them. You are not to listen to their lies. You are not to pursue God in that way, using these superstitious and supernatural kind of ways to kind of try and somehow work up what God is saying. God's will is not to be found in unclear, superstitious messages. To the Lord, look at this in verse 9. To the Lord, these practices are detestable. Now, you might think, well, why is it so revolting to God? Well, we're going to come on to think why, but primarily because God has made the way his will is available is much clearer. You don't insult him by trying to work it out in a superstitious way, because he's made it very clear. And we're going to see that in a few moments. You see, now we might be sitting here again thinking, well, hang on, this is not a problem for me. Most of us in this room might be thinking, well, you know, we're good Christian types. You know, we don't go to tarot card readers, and I don't have my palm read, and I don't read my tea leaves because they're all inside a bag now anyway, and, you know, and all those kind of things. And, you know, we might be thinking, this is not a problem for me. But I actually think if we're honest with ourselves for a moment, that I think we can very easily creep into seeking God's will in a tea leaf reading type of way. If you're honest for a moment. You see, which of us, when we've been seeking God's mind on something, hasn't crept into the sort of reading the signs? Oh, I bumped into that person and I read this verse in the Bible and I did this. And I think if you bring all those three things together, God must be saying this. Have you ever done that? It's just me. Man, maybe I shouldn't be a pastor after all then. But I think sometimes we do get to junctions in our life and we're desperate to know, God, what do you want us to do? And I think we creep into sort of sign reading, superstitious stuff. Now, please don't mishear me. I actually do think that God can and does use circumstances and perfectly timed meetings to graciously confirm things to us or to say things to us. But is that the norm for seeking his will? Does he say that we should go out of here this week and be looking for this sign and that sign to try and work out what God wants us to do? No. We must not listen to lies. We must not listen to people who are somehow grabbing for God's will and God's ways in weird and wonderful ways. And the warning here is, you see, not just listening to lies. We mustn't just listen to lies from outside with weird and wonderful practices. But look at verse 20. But a prophet, you see, who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death. You see, here is a more insidious threat to God's people, a more subtle threat. A prophet is one who claimed to speak to God. Perhaps many of us here would immediately bolt at kind of some cards or someone trying to tell you after church, oh, look, I'll just get out my cards and we'll just try and work out what God wants you to do this week. We'd all be like, ooh, no. But if someone said, oh, you know, actually, I've got a message from God for you, we might be a bit more attentive, mightn't we? We might be a little bit more, oh, that's a good thing. But the warning that Moses has here is, be careful. Be careful who brings a message to you in God's name. When it comes to speaking the will of God, we must not listen to lies. We must be discerning. If you're familiar with the New Testament, it says in the New Testament, test the spirits. Test people who come and say they speak in God's name to you. Instead, you see, as the people of God, we must not listen to lies. But instead, what does he say we should do? We should listen to the Lord's prophet. I'm sure that should have an apostrophe in there, those of you. Yeah, someone's nodding. I'm apologizing for my PowerPoints again. It's always the way. The Lord's apostrophe S prophet. That's who we should listen to. But look, see, at verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. You see that command? It's a very powerful command, a very simple one to the people of God. You must listen to him. God is going to give the people someone who will speak for him. Someone who will reveal his mind to them. Someone who will address them with the authority of God. And as we read through this text, I want to show you four distinctive features of this prophet, this man that God promises to send. Don't listen to lies. Don't go chasing superstition. Be careful of false prophets. But this is the one you're to listen to. Look at what it says. First of all, this prophet will be from God. So look at verse 15. Moses speaking to start with. God will raise up for you a prophet like me. And then again in verse 18, God himself speaking. I will raise up for them a prophet. This person that the people of God must listen to comes at God's initiative and at God's choosing. God has determined the way that his words will come to us. We don't have to go hunting for them in a superstitious type way. He's already determined where they're coming from. He's raised up a prophet. And so this prophet that they're to listen to will be from God. But then look at the next feature. At the same time as being from God, raised up by him, they will be from among the people. So look again at verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. So although this person is from God and raised up by God, they appear as one of us. They appear as a kind of a normal person, a man speaking the word, as it were, like Moses. And this prophet speaks for God. You see, come again to verse 18 this time. I will raise for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. God's words, the will of God, the mind of God, which is coming out through words, will be in this prophet's mouth. And the prophet's words will come to pass. See, look at the natural question that arises in verse 21. You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? That's a natural question, isn't it? If you're trying to pick out kind of false prophets, true prophets, how do we know who to listen to if someone comes and says, I speak for the Lord? Well, who's the real deal? Well, look at the answer that comes in verse 22. If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. See, one of the tests, and I do want to emphasize here because we're dipping into Deuteronomy, one of the tests of a false prophet is that their words won't come true. So one of the tests of a real prophet is that the words that they say will come to pass. Their words will prove true. Now, that isn't the only test, because actually sometimes a false prophet's words may come true, which is why you need the other bits of Deuteronomy to help you discern if a prophet is true or false. Are they really speaking for God? Do they help you remain loyal to the Lord? That's the primary thing. But Moses tells the people that this person from God, raised up by God, among the people, speaking God's words with the authority of God, and their words come to pass, that is the prophet that the people of God must listen to. That is how we listen for the will of God. And so who is this prophet? Now, I know what you're thinking, okay? Because we love Jesus and we're going to get there. But what does he mean? Who's he talking about? Well, I want you to notice something. This isn't an English lesson, but it's really important that you see this, okay? Look at verse 15 and look at verse 18. The promise is in the singular. Did you notice that? I will raise up for you a prophet, just one person, one prophet, as it were. It's in the singular. Now, actually, that singular comes to represent all the prophets that God raised up. If you know the Bible from here on in, you'll know that God did raise up prophets. He raised them up from among the people. He put his words in their mouths, and they spoke to the people, and their words came to pass. Words of promise, words of judgment, words of warning. People like Jeremiah, Isaiah, Elijah, Samuel, Elisha, you can go on and on listing the prophets of the Bible. But here's the thing, by the time that you reach the New Testament, about the first century, the Jews had taken this to be a promise that one day God would send a final prophet, someone who really would speak the word of God to the people. Someone that must be listened to. See, listen to a question that John the Baptist was asked, just to prove my point, okay? John the Baptist, John chapter 1, this is what John the Baptist was asked. Are you the prophet? That's what they asked. Do you listen to that? Are you the prophet? That was the expectation, that someone would come from God, raised up by him with the word. And people were saying to John, is that you? Are you the ones coming? You see, they expected that someone was coming. And so who is this prophet? Who's the prophet? Jesus. Very good. We could make a good Sunday school, couldn't we? It is Jesus. It is absolutely Jesus for us. Who is this instruction for us to listen to this man, listen to this prophet? It is Jesus himself. See, he is the one raised up by God. He is the one at God's initiative sent into this world. He is the one who is from among us. He is like us. He was indistinguishable. He was a human. He is the one who speaks for God. And he is the one whose words came to pass. And friends, this is brought home really powerfully to us in a story in the New Testament. And actually, I can't think of any better way to do this than just to read the story to you. Okay, so you ready? It's the story of the Transfiguration. A story famous to lots of us where Jesus goes up a mountain with some of his disciples and he's transformed in front of them. But what you know now of Deuteronomy 18, listen carefully to this story. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up on a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving, Peter said to him, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." Do you see the links in the story? Moses and Elijah. Who are they? They are prophets. The men of God from the Old Testament. Men God had raised up and in whom he'd put his words. And there they are standing with Jesus, talking with him. And then a voice comes from heaven. And what does the voice say? "This is the one I've chosen. This is the one I've raised up. And what are we to do?" Did you notice the voice from heaven? "Listen to him." That's exactly the same command as in Deuteronomy 18. "I'm going to raise up this prophet and you must listen to him." And the voice from heaven says, "Listen to Jesus." Jesus is the prophet, friends, that we must listen to. He is the one who speaks the word of God, the will of God to us in life and salvation and in all things to do with how we do this life and the future that is to come. Jesus has the word of God. He has the will of God. And Jesus is the one whose words came to pass. Three times. Think of the cross. You know, if you want to know that his words come to pass, three times in the Gospels he says to his disciples, "The Son of Man will be handed over and crucified and on the third day raised again." He predicted, and his words came to pass. And we gloriously celebrated last weekend that Jesus' words came true. What are we celebrating? He's a prophet to be trusted. He's a prophet who really does come from God. In the book of Acts, if we had time to go there, we don't. You would see Peter preaching in one of his first sermons, and he says, "Jesus is the prophet that we're to listen to. Jesus is the prophet who was raised up and is like Moses." And so very simply, as we're going to listen, friends, to the challenge of this chapter, I want to ask you, are you listening to Jesus? You know, when it comes to your life and the junctions you find yourself in and the circumstances you find yourselves in and the relationships that are broken, are you listening to Jesus? Are you carrying on listening to Jesus through his preserved word? Yes, the scriptures, but are we listening to him? Is he our go-to person? Is the Bible our go-to person, as it were, go-to book when we want to know the will of God? When we want to know what he's got to say on a particular subject. You see, is it to his clear and sufficient revelation that we turn when we want to know what God has to say? See, I wonder tonight perhaps if for some of you here, tonight might be the night that you start listening to Jesus. You start listening to the one who says, "Come to me." You start listening to the one who tells us how to be saved, how to have eternal life. See, to trust Jesus is not only to trust him as a prophet, but it's to trust him as the one who gave his life at the cross so that we might be restored to God. You see, who we listen to matters. Who we go to, the people of the nations, well, they might chase different things. They might be seeking God's will in different ways. But who are we to listen to, people of God? We are to listen to Jesus. He is the man of God, raised up by God, who has the word of God in his mouth and speaks with the authority of God. And it's his mind we should want to know. It's his words we should want to listen to. And why? Why should we listen to him? Well, here's the third thing Moses says, because who you listen to really matters, because we're accountable for it. We're accountable for who we listen to. You see, look with me at verse 19. I'm going to finish with this evening. I myself, God says, will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. See, I want you to see that that is first a warning to the people of God. You see, we may sit in here and think, oh, well, yeah, you know, that's a warning for the world because they're not going to listen to Jesus. But I want you to see, because Moses is addressing the loved and rescued and saved people of God, this warning is to the people of God. Are you going to listen to the one that God has raised up? Are you going to go to him when you want to know the mind of God, the will of God? You see, what are we doing with those words of Jesus? Jesus who speaks about life now. You know, we've just done the Sermon on the Mount. If you've been around on Sunday mornings, we've been working our way through the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus has given instruction for life and for godliness and for everyday practicalities. Are we listening to him? Is he our go-to person? Are we listening to Jesus? Are we letting that be the voice that we go to? See, God lovingly warns us that we will be called to account, look at verse 19 again, for not listening to the prophet that God has raised up. See, for running perhaps to other ways to hear God, for seeking God's will for our lives in superstitious ways. We are answerable to God. But having said that it's a warning to us, I actually think this is a warning to all people. And maybe it's a warning for you tonight. If you have heard the gospel, if you have heard Jesus's call to repent and believe but have done nothing with it, the Bible tells us that Jesus himself, look at verse 19 again, those words are quite chilling, aren't they? I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. So friends, as we finish this evening, what is the challenge? Well, listening to God's will, listening for what God wants in life, for your circumstances, for your situations, is a good thing. It is a right thing. It is a thing that is to be commended. It's a question that we should be asking. But what's the warning? What's the challenge of this chapter? Be careful that we don't listen to lies. Be careful that we don't chase God's will in places where we shouldn't be looking for it. Instead, listen to the Lord's prophet. Let's listen to Jesus. Let's make sure he's the first person we go to. His word is the first thing that we go to when we're seeking his will. And remember that we are accountable for it. See, that's what it looks like to be part of the loyal people of God, the people who love him who first loved us. Friends, let's bow our heads and let's pray together as we finish up this evening. Our Father in heaven, we want to say thank you tonight for the Lord Jesus. We want to thank you that you raised him up. We want to thank you that you put your words in his mouth. And we would simply pray, Father, that you would help us to listen to him. Father, we find ourselves often in situations where we're desperate to know what you think, where we're desperate to know what you want us to do, what your plan is for us. Father, please, would we be quick to run to Jesus rather than to grab at some of the practices of our world around us. Father, would we not neglect your goodness to us in Jesus? Father, please keep us from the danger of listening to the wrong people and the wrong things. Father, I'd also like to pray that as we just engage with this part of your word, that you would expose to us where perhaps we are in danger of doing detestable things in seeking your will. Father, please would you give us insights that we might be quicker to run to Jesus and to listen to what is plain and revealed to us through your prophet, your son. Father, help us please, in Jesus' name. Amen.